direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James, we have an hour to spend together, and so we'll make the most of it. Yeah, I tell you what, I was just sitting here frustrated as can be. AI, yeah, the scourge of my existence when it comes down to having to do things online. Oh, like change your shipping addresses in PayPal. All right, now it's very easy to change the addresses associated with billing and all that. That, yes, but the pop-up addresses when you go to place an order, and I'm not the only one with this problem. That, by the way, is why I'm bringing it up at all. If it was just mine, I wouldn't say a thing. But when I went to look online, I saw throngs of people frustrated with the exact same thing. The problem is that when you're placing an order, a shipping address pops up. You have to notice it and notice that, hey, that's not right. And then you go ahead and click to add an address or look at an address. And, you know, if you've had a PayPal account for a decade or so, you know, maybe there's 30 addresses there and you're like, 29 of them are not what I want. How do you remove them? And so I finally resorted to contacting customer support. And I realize now that this absolutely is an AI response, regardless of how they protest that it isn't, because, of course, they sent me detailed instructions on how to change those billing addresses again. No, we're not trying to do that. And so as my blood pressure was rising, to say the least, I realized that, I always say that everyone's on their last nerve with all that's going on in the world at large. But I think that part of that is also interacting with things online. Yeah, there was a trivia question that I was going to ask, and it's about the percentage of people who wanted to do harms to their computer. Obviously, I won't ask it now, but it was quite the number. I thought to myself, well, I guess I'm guilty. I have been known to throw laptops across rooms, so more than once. So with that in mind, I get it. But yeah, I do think I notice people more and more are on edge. And I really think that online interactions are part of that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, God forbid you actually have to call. We won't even go into that. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And, oh, we've got Mark, we've got Brian, we've got Ruth. Now, Brian wants a request, so let's see what is on his mind. So, all right, Brian, how's it going?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call. Nice. I hope you're doing well. I have a couple requests and a question.
Yeah.
The first one, Direct Me by Otis Redding.
Okay.
And the second, What You Gonna Do When I'm Gone, I believe that would be Brenda Holloway.
Oh, When I'm Gone. Yes, absolutely. It's called When I'm Gone.
When I'm Gone. Yeah.
What a great record. I love everything she did, and that's why when Motown came up with those CDs and gave her a soulectomy because they remastered them, I just went crazy. But Brenda Holloway is still, she left Motown when she was very young. She's about 22, and then she retired from the music industry for a while. But she was not Detroit as far as that goes. She was California. And her sister, Patrice, also sang, and not for Motown, but did quite a bit. They were both born, I think, in Atascadero, but they were raised in Watts. And it was just a couple of really great stuff. She wrote "You've Made Me So Very Happy," which "Blood, Sweat, and Tears," of course, had a big hit. But "Every Little Bit Hurts" and "When I'm Gone" were her two big records for Tamla, which was Motown. And yeah, like I say, Patrice was kind of a big deal in L.A. there for a moment, but then Brenda got discovered. She did a lot of things for Bob Keane, the guy who had Keane Records and Delphi Records, the guy who discovered Ritchie Valens and all that. And in fact, the first version of "Every Little Bit Hurts" was more of a ballad, and then later, I mean, it was always a ballad, but more so, was put out on one of Keane's labels on Delphi when she was maybe 16, I think, too young to drive. And so she did a lot of that, and she went to Jordan High and Compton College, and she was invited to a party, and Berry Gordy Jr. was there. And while she was there, she lip sank, and I think it was a Mary Wells hit. And Gordy was impressed by her looks, and then when he heard her vocal power, he thought, "I'm going to sign you." And she became their first West Coast signing. And in fact, that was that they gave her the option to move to Detroit. Well, come on, a South Central LA girl's not going to move to Detroit. So what they did was, that's when Motown opened a West Coast office.
Oh, how interesting!
Yeah,
and why did she retire young?
Well, you know, I mean, the music industry is the way the music industry. She did that Dick Clark Caravan of Stars tour, you know, the bus tour. Oh my God, that's enough to make anybody retire. But nonetheless, I think that and for a minute there she was hot. You know, she opened for the Beatles at Shea Stadium, you know, I think 67 they did just look what you've done, and that really did not hit. And then you know, they didn't have much after that. And she got together with Frank Wilson, who'd been a writer and before that an artist for the Motown labels. And you know, I think I don't know, she went to Invictus for a while when Holland Dozier Holland left Motown. Was not a happy time, but they started Invictus, and she went there, and she did some session work. And you know, I mean, you can hear her in the background of some Joe Cocker stuff. And but she married a preacher. And that was about 1969, and they had four kids, and so she became a mother. But then she divorced, I think, probably the mid-80s. It's going on 40 years ago now. And also, she got big in a Northern Soul. You know, she was one of the artists they used to play in the all-nighters in Great Britain. So she did stuff with Ian Levine, who was like the leader of Northern Soul and had his own little label, Motor City. And so she was doing that. And she did not return to performing really until Mary Wells died. And when she'd go to Great Britain, it would be a lot of this Northern Soul stuff, but Brenton Wood would go with her and stuff like that. And, you know, she's absolutely, as far as I know, still very much alive, because she's not that old. She's 78.
Oh, well, that's good. And remarkable talent.
Yes. And Patrice, too, I'm telling you. You know, I've played some stuff by Patrice, but I'll have to do that that again sometime, because she never got her due.
Well, thank you for taking my call again and my request and answering my question.
Yes,
Raleigh.
And I have make sure I've written down your request and something I won't throw away. So, yeah, because I'm on my own on this for the moment. So let's see, Brenda Holloway. Okay, you got it.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, good deal. Thanks, appreciate it. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we got Mark in Aurora. What's up, Mark?
Well, good morning. Was that Patrice that you were talking about, Patrice Rushen?
No, Patrice Holloway, Brenda Holloway's sister.
Oh, okay. I do like Patrice Rushen.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, I met a woman last May whom I will call Charlotte, because her job is somewhat public, and okay, in case anybody who knows her is listening, you know, want to protect
all
identity.
Right.
I met her at the place where she used to work. It was a brewery and restaurant.
Okay.
And in the course of talking with my friend and me, she said that she attended a Lutheran church in the area, and I found out when her birthday was, and I said, well, suffice it to say that good things come to those who wait. But her birthday was coming in September, and this was May, and I decided I didn't want to wait that long to see her again. So remembering that she goes to a Lutheran church, I called her at the establishment where she works, and I said, hey, you mentioned that you go to a Lutheran church, and you know, you remember who I am. I was the totally blind guy with my friend. Oh, she said, yeah, I remember who you are. And I said, well, I'd like to visit your church with you if I could. And she said, oh, I'd love to. I'll pick you up this Sunday. So far, so good. We went to church together, and then we went out to a restaurant. And this is where things got a little unusual, because here is what she had told me about herself. Within the first half hour of our brunch, he told me that she was missing her breasts. He told me that implants had not worked, and therefore she wore no bra because she had nothing to put in a bra. He also told me that she had no sensation in the breast area. He also told me that she used to be a size 38C, and she told me that she was also missing her ovaries. And I thought, when I thought back on this later, I thought, no other woman has ever told me so much about her female anatomy, and especially not in the first half hour. Now, what I have as many as five interpretations of that level of self-disclosure, but I thought maybe Raleigh would have an offbeat perspective on this.
Here's the thing. If you have to wonder that much, it's probably not somebody you want to deal with. I mean, just take it.
Okay. What do you think? Where do you think she was coming from when she told me all that stuff?
You know, there's so many possibilities that it isn't even worth it to go. I mean, you could go at this truly from many directions. You'd keep a team of psychologists busy on this. But if it in any way, literally, I mean, it could be the subject for a dissertation. But, you know, kind of like one of those logic tests.
And she's a middle school math teacher.
Well, all right, there you go. So, you know, I think if you had this knee-jerk reaction saying, this doesn't sound right to me, I'm a little off-put by this, I'd say honor it.
Well, no, it was a delayed reaction.
Yeah, I understand that, but regardless, you've spent some time worrying about this, and so that's what tells me.
Yeah.
If you got to worry about it,
okay.
No, cancel, you know.
I believe that there is a repressed trauma there, and that because women who have suffered trauma are often loosey-goosey with their boundaries.
Well, you could say that. You could also talk about her childhood. I mean, believe me, a team of psychologists could tackle this.
Okay.
But you know, you could also say, well, she's looking at you. You're totally blind. She's describing her anatomy. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Although you rarely see anybody's ovaries.
The friend who was with me the night we first met her said, you know, maybe she was trying to uglify herself because she thought, well, maybe he'll be attracted to me, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So I'm going to tell him that I don't have any breasts. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, and you know, that's a possibility too. But like I say, I believe if we really sat down to do this and had maybe 48 hours nonstop, we could come up easily with 240 answers.
Oh, okay. All right, I hear you.
And so
I hear you.
It's not worth it. Now, if you enjoyed her company in spite of this and you don't care that she's a little odd.
I did.
Well, and if you don't care that she's a little odd, just take it on face value and see her again. Doesn't matter. And then,
she is on the outs with me for the time being. That happened in January.
Uh-huh. Well, if it happened,
and she claimed that I was not good for her mental health, and that she also needed to look out for the well-being of her daughters. And
well, okay.
I had thought we were doing so well.
Well, right there. You've answered your own question. You know, and if this is since January and you're still thinking about it, you've got the luxury of nothing else on your mind.
No, that's not true.
Right. You'll find something
to
worry about no matter what it is. All right. Well,
it sounds like It sounds like you're saying she's not worth it.
Well, nobody would be worth it like that in that situation. Life is too short. Again, if you kind of liked her and there was a reason to see her again, sure, go ahead. But, I mean, it sounds like now you're saying we're on the outs, so it really doesn't matter. Next. You know, that's the way I'd look
well,
at that.
Well, she's on the outs with me.
All right, well, regardless,
she's
already built it up in her mind that, oh, my God, you might be a predator. I have to protect myself. You don't need that psychodrama. Life is too short.
Yeah, what probably happened was that she told me too much about herself, and then she thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then regretted
it. Look what this guy knows about me.
Well, so let's say 241 things, but the bottom line is it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I'd say move along.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Not worth wondering about.
We were doing so well through December.
Yeah, and then, well, you know, it's the way it is. Although I must say, I'm not guilty of that, but I certainly am always interested in what people I know are up to now, you know, that kind of thing. And it'll drive John crazy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's somebody I hadn't seen in 40. Well, I wonder what they're doing. You know, so I get that. I never bother to try and find out, but it runs across my mind. But no, I'd say this is over and done with. Next.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
You deserve.
That's a somewhat predictable perspective from you. Actually,
yeah. Well,
I mean, you're the kind of person who listens to 3 seconds of a song. Oh, I don't like that.
Right, absolutely. You're 100% right. But the other thing, Mark, in all sincerity, you deserve better than somebody who needs to distance themselves from you because there might be something wrong. You don't need that psychodrama. So just thank your lucky stars she's not involved. Do better than that. You can. All right.
Okay. I'll
Good
keep
luck.
All that in mind.
All right. Have
Thank
fun.
You.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah. Have fun no matter what. So that does sound like it's a nutcase. We'll get to Ruth and Gurney. In fact, I got one of her requests. I hope she heard the other one last night, but she's about to hear this one. And so are you on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Louis Armstrong with Billie Holiday. And do you know what it means to miss New Orleans? And that's from the movie New Orleans from 1947. And probably 47 people recorded that. And so maybe we'll find the Harry Connick if I've got it here. We'll stay away from Rick Nelson, though. But I'll figure it out, and we'll talk to Ruth and play another one after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day. I know I'm not wrong, the feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. Miss the moss-covered vines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds used to sing. And I'd like to see that lazy Mississippi a-hurrying into spring. the moonlight on a bayou, a Creole tune that fills the air. I dream about magnolias in June, and soon I'm wishing that I was there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans?
WGN. When that's I'm Raleigh James. It's Rosie Clooney, 1977, 30 years after the movie came out, New Orleans, which I think was Billie Holiday's only film role, as far as that goes. And yes, we heard her earlier singing with Louis Armstrong. And she played a maid who was romantically involved with Louis, who was a band leader. And so the plot was there was a casino owner who was a high society opera singer who fell in love with jazz. And that's one of the songs that came out. All right, and that was Ruth's request. So now she's heard that one too. So Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I owe you, Raleigh. Your wish is my command.
Oh no, happy to do that. Happy to do that. Now I played something for you last night. I hope you heard it.
No, you know, I happen to hear so many time minutes, whatever it was. And there were two or three times when I left, and I go, you just, when you come up with some of your quick comebacks, they really are not slapstick comedy, but not sarcastic, but a real in-depth observation of somebody's comment about a situation. And I will chuckle, and I will laugh. I don't laugh very often. It's just my Scorpio thing. And so when I do laugh, I can't tell you how much I enjoy it, even if it's a small laugh. So I just really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. It was April Fool's, by the way. We played your Aretha Franklin request. But both Carol and I were having trouble on your Ella Fitzgerald request. We can't find it. What was the name again?
Well, one was April in Paris, and the other one was April Fool's.
No,
there was something else.
Let me find it here, because both of us, Carol and I, both said, I don't know what that is. So let me find that, and maybe you will know. I'm not sure. So
it
was something about
songs.
If it's in Terrace.
What? Say that again, please.
If it's in Terrace, and we didn't know what that would have been.
April, the month of April, the fourth month.
Okay, so that was April Fool's. Okay.
No, the one was April in Paris, you know.
Okay, remember April in Paris.
Sinatra,
okay.
Well,
April in Paris. We'll do it. I'll play it for you tomorrow night.
Okay, so I missed which one? Which one did I miss? April Fool's?
Yes, April Fool's.
Okay, so I fell asleep.
I don't blame you.
Sleep is better than me.
No.
I get disappointed. Even when I don't call the Raleigh Show and I want somebody else to get in instead, and I want to get greedy and get blessings for things that I can't do, but things that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I get disappointed if I can't call or listen to other people's stories and things like that, or journalistically human interest types of things. So I get a little bit disappointed, but I outlived that waiting list for a liver transplant. I outlived it 30, 35 years, and sometimes I fell asleep, and I came in and out and back, so I got to hear parts of it, but I missed that song, a song that I'd never heard before. And what you did tonight with this Billie Holiday, what was the name of the movie?
The name of the movie was New Orleans. Just New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yes, and do you
this
know what...
It's the first time to hear it.
Yeah, it was a big movie in 1947, and a lot of people in that. Marjorie Lord was in that, and Zutty Singleton was a drummer in that, and trying to think who else was in that. I'm not a movie person, but Woody Herman's orchestra was in that movie, and Shelley Winters had a role as a secretary. She's not credited, but she's in there, Miss Holmbright.
Now, that's really incredible, Shelley Winters.
Yeah.
To be in there way back in the beginning, like, you know,
yeah.
That's right there. But this never fails to amaze all of us when we find out something that has been around and we have never heard about it before.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do my little story that I wanted on another day, because this is other people trying to get in.
Yeah.
for a conversation.
Well, we have a full show tomorrow night. So, yeah, I want to hear about the washing machine. John says it sounds passive aggressive, so I want to hear every detail. But let me tell you something
else. Do you want to do it now?
No, we'll do it tomorrow night. You'll call me tomorrow night. But let me tell you a little more about this film, New Orleans. This movie almost did not happen because it was an unfinished RKO Pictures movie by Orson Welles. He never finished it. He was calling it the story of jazz segment of It's All True. And so then there was another title they were using, Jam Session, and part of it was written by Elliot Paul under contract to Orson Welles. And, you know, it almost didn't happen at all, but Louis Armstrong was in it because of It's All True. And ultimately, they put it together. And it was unfinished for quite some time. But the producer had wanted to make a film about the history of jazz, and he signed to direct it in 46, and it came out in 47.
You know, when you were playing that the song twice that you did that, I felt like I was in the red-headed bar off of Michigan Avenue. You know, I felt like I was at Pirate's Alley, and they brought in, you know, a singer or chartreuse or something, you know. I felt like I was in some other place that you would pay top dollar to be there for this. What you just did on the radio. I mean, it's really, you know.
Well, happy to. And I'll try to play the Harry Connick Jr. one for you. There's so many, because Dr. John is actually in that as well. But now, by the way, the critics said that the music was great, but everything else in the movie was terrible. So there you go.
Who listens to critics?
Oh, well, exactly. So there you you have it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Good night.
Goodbye. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Let's see, Dave on the north side has some requests, so welcome back to WGN Radio, Dave. No, wait, did I not say goodbye right to, wait a minute, let me put Dave on hold because I have screwed up again. It's fairly easy for me to screw up, actually. Let me close that and close that, and now say hi to Dave. If he's still there, are you still with us, Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thanks for calling. Hello. What's up?
I wanted to thank you for playing my song, the Andrews Sisters, and I really liked the history lesson you gave me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, a true Yiddish gem. And in fact, the guy who wrote the music, he actually was still alive when they were filming things, and you can see a film of him doing it, including kind of a translation on stage. If you look for it, it's on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't have internet yet. But,
well, you will. Yeah.
What about, you said something about someone called the Bosnia Sisters?
The Boswell Sisters. Yes, of course.
Okay.
It's not that they did it. No, it was the Andrews Sisters had not caught on before Bamir Bissashane. And they were just doing nothing. And most people said, oh, well, they're just cheap imitations of the Boswell Sisters. And they did a lot of harmony and jazz and swing. It was Martha and Connie. And there's a third. I'm trying to think of her name. But anyway, there were three. And they were from Uptown New Orleans. And so I guess I have to get some Boswell Sisters for you. And they were around in the early 30s. They split by the mid-30s, I think. So this is earlier. And this was about the time, like I say, that the Andrews Sisters were trying to come up. And, you know, the Boswell Sisters, their parents were vaudevillians and things like that. So it was that era. And they went to Tulane and studied classical music and all that. But as a trio, they started to do jazz. And so most people who had heard the Andrews Sisters before they had any records said, oh, well, they're just imitating the Boswell Sisters. So that's the deal.
It's interesting. My other station, DCB, Saturday morning, they play 2 hours of the Andrews Sisters.
Oh, well, sure. And there's enough material for it. You could easily do 2 hours. But you'll have to ask them to do the Boswell Sisters.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm not sure if they really take requests.
Well, you can send them an email or something. It's an idea, because if they're eclectic enough to devote a couple hours to the Andrews Sisters, why not hear the first incarnation? The Boswell Sisters were making records in 1925.
Right. You were just talking to Ruth, and you were saying about Billie Holiday playing with all these people. Did you mention Woody Herman's name? Did I hear that?
Yes. He not acting, but his group is in that movie.
his music, right?
Yes, and him. And him. No, you can see him on it. So the
trombone player, right?
The movie is called New Orleans, and I'm sure it's probably, well, you're not online, but I was saying you probably see the whole thing online, but I don't know what to say, but yeah, Woody Herman, absolutely. It was very interesting to see what was going on, and of course, he was hot at the time, so that was the deal. He was a Milwaukee boy. He was not a New Orleans guy.
You brought his name up. I was wondering if you could play a lot of his music, and he played like 90 seconds of a song?
Yeah, at most, yes.
I was wondering if you play some of his music, if you could play like him, like doing trombone music, because isn't he like a trombone player?
Yeah, but you just want him as a musician rather than his big band. Okay, he played clarinet, yeah. Alto sax, and saxophone mostly. Okay. So clarinet But also, like I say, a lot of saxophone stuff as well. And he had some interesting records, including he actually covered a record that that Louis Jordan did. And, Louis Jordan was kind of my hero. So
I'd like to hear some of his music.
Yeah, he was great. And
keep on saying, the more I'm on a request.
Yeah, in fact, when he did Caledonia, Neil Hefti arranged it. So that might be worth hearing as well.
Yeah, I hear that a lot on DCB.
Yeah,
Caledonia, actually.
Yeah, well, of course, it's huge. But yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for Neil Hefti music, so I'm not sure what that says about me. It's probably a guilty pleasure.
Can I talk to you real quick about C. Crane?
Yeah, what about it?
Do they make like a? I'm working with a Pioneer house amp, SA6700 series. Is the amp and tuner, and I was wondering if they make like a tuner.
Nope. It'd be nice if they did, but they do not.
Okay, because you talk about how clear the signal.
Yeah, it's the big thing with them. Like I say, every radio they make, it's just superior reception, and that's so nice to have. But they don't make tuners.
You remember back in like the 70s with the band and Solid State?
Well, solid state, of course, solid state's just telling you it's transistors, and the first people to come out with that were Bell Labs in 1955. But
I had a little tiny one. It fit in the palm of your hand. It sounds like that one you talk about.
Right. But the deal about transistors, and I'm sure you know this if you're an aficionado for this stuff, is that you're not going to get those wonderful pear-shaped tones that only tubes provide. So
I'm just a weekend adventurous guy. I don't really know much about anything like you do.
Yeah, well, there's certainly when you're looking at amplifiers, tube. I still the warmth of tubes is just doesn't get better than that. I don't think.
Yeah, my AM tuner, the AM side, I can't get you to come in clear, GN or BBM or 67 or anyone in Chicago, the major AM stations.
Well, most of those tuners didn't have much of an AM section, especially if that's something built in the 70s or whatever. They just didn't, and that's what Bob Crane was upset about, obviously. He wanted things that had absolutely terrific AM and FM reception, and they just didn't.
Right, it's like when you play your songs, they come in distorted.
Well, when you're listening at night to 50,000 watts, ground wave and sky wave meet each other depending on where you live, and there can be some cancellation. It can sound weird to begin with. What? John's looking at me. What?
C-Crane radios have a line out that can go right into his amplifier.
Well, that's true. C-Crane radios do. I never thought about that, but the C-Crane radios have a line out, so you could put it into your amplifier and use your amplifier speakers if you wanted to.
Mm.
If that's the way you wanted to hear it, it can be done. But yeah, if you're just looking for a great tuner for your amp and all that, this is probably not. But if you're looking for a radio that's going to pick it all up, well, they've got every machination you can find. I love things like some of the emergency radios because that CC solar that will work no matter what. You wind it up, it works. You use solar power, it works. Or batteries, it works. It all works. So I always think that's kind of blessing. I just got a digital readout and a clock and alarm and timer. But you can call them for a catalog. I would do that right now, actually, because they're there. 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. T-U-N-E. And just say, send me a catalog, and it's free of charge. They'll put one in the mail to you.
Actually, I have one. I called them.
Well, then there you go. Then you know all I do. All right.
No, being blind, it's hard to get someone to read it to me. So, yeah.
It is tough. Sorry about that. But I will talk to you later, Dave. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tear the seam of anyone's dream is over my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. At least consider our romance. If you should take the word of others you've heard, I haven't a chance. True, I've been seen with someone new, but does that mean that I'm untrue when we're apart?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Woody Herman, and Woody Herman is the vocalist on that as well. So 1944, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me. And that originally was recorded by Duke Ellington in 1940, but that was Woody Herman singing himself on the 1944 version on Decca. So, all right, hopefully Dave liked that. Well, the waning moments, I think they belong to Tubby in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
Can't complain. How about yourself, Tubby? What's up?
And okay, first of all, I want to apologize for not calling back that night. We got cut off.
Yeah.
Well, I was rambling on, but it just wasn't feasible for me to get back to you at that time.
Understood.
But anyway, one question. I was getting up to that Latin show that came on Saturday nights, and I couldn't think of that DJ's name.
Yeah.
And that don't jump at you real quick, do you? The guy that did Latin music 9 to 12
on
Saturday night.
And what station?
Oh, you know, the public radio.
Okay, in Chicago. No, I'll find it. Yeah, I'll write this down and find it.
And had you heard of Cecil Taylor?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool having him on campus. They would do those things like that. Also, real quick, because I know you're about out of time, I want to just say I'm the kind of person too, like Ruth. I like to listen to what people tend to say because I got something to talk about, and I will talk all the time. But I want to shout out to Jim James and Johnny D. I just want to make a note. Everybody should remember we're good people, and it's so nice to have your show. I love it when you just jump off on something and start edifying people on something. It's just like, and like that song that you just said. Okay, I did have a request. I forgot it 3 times. Oh, my God. I forgot it again. That's why I have to write stuff down. I'll think of it next time. But I do care about everybody. I care about you and your husband. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks.
And everybody's so grateful to have somebody like you around that is teaching us. And we all just have a really good time, and we have a chance to help each other, you know, with different things. And you know, the last thing I want to say is I really got a kick out of, you know, my TV when I being able to listen to these radio shows. They do it on other shows too. People get on, they say, "Thank you for taking my call." That's what made me fall in love with Jim.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, and.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll play you some Cecil Taylor. So until you think of what you wanted to hear, I'll play some Cecil, maybe something from the 50s. And in the meantime, you've ended the show tonight, and I hope to talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And apologies to James on the south side, but we have 3 big hours tomorrow night, and I hope you'll spend it with me. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. Talk to you 21 hours from now. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.